been a great day, and we're glad you're here tonight, and that makes it even more wonderful. We thank you for coming, and if you're visiting with us tonight, we certainly want you to know that we're glad that you're here, and we hope that you'll return whenever it is possible. I want you to think with me tonight on the idea of being proactive as God's people. You know, there is a chemical that you see advertised on television quite often, and it's just simply called proactive. And proactive helps deal with acne and facial problems. And anyway, I saw the other day where you could get a container of it for about $19.95 if any of you need it. But anyway, it is available on the internet, and you could probably buy it a lot of other places. But the kind of proactive that I'm talking about tonight is not the chemical kind, but it is the spiritual kind. And I want you to think with me tonight on this subject, because I believe that in the Lord's church today, there are some that are proactive, but there are some who are inactive, and then there are some who are reactive. You know, when it comes to spiritual matters, we must not be inactive. You know, there are a lot of people who are content to have their name on a church roll. And they feel very, very comfortable with the fact that they were baptized into Christ at one time, and their name or perhaps their photograph is on the wall or perhaps maybe in the church directory. And when they go to the hospital, they list their church preference as a member of this congregation. But I would have you know tonight that being a member of the body of Christ entails much, much more than just having your name on a roll or showing up occasionally at the worship services of God's church. Our God is an active God. God is not inactive. Sometimes people think that God is just sitting up there and he's doing nothing, but he's watching us work. But you know, God is very active tonight. He is proactive. He's not inactive. He is doing what he will. His word is active according to the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul would write these words, "For the word of God is quick, that is alive. It is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart." Now that tells me that God is watching us. He is not watching us to slap us when we do wrong. But he is watching us to love us and offer forgiveness to us when we err as his people. But at the same time, God wants us to get off the inactive list. Sometimes you can ask people in various civic organizations, and I've done this many, many times, and I'd say maybe to those in the Rotary or the Lions Club or, you know, whatever organization it happens to be. I would say, are they a member of the Lions Club? Or are they a member of the Rotary Club? And sometimes they will say, well, they are on the inactive list. Now, what that really means is that they never come to the luncheons. They don't do that. They meet once a week, if you know anything about civic organizations. Or we could say the same thing about the Kiwanis Club and perhaps many, many others. But if they do not show up at the luncheon and they do not pay their dues, and they are commonly referred to as those who are on the inactive list. Sometimes I've had people ask me about those whose names are on the roll. And they would say, well, I understand they're a member of your church. And I look at that and I say, well, yeah, in a roundabout way. And I have to say, but they are on the inactive list. God is at work even if we do not fully perceive what God is doing. If you read the book of Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 5, God says, "Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously," he says, "for I will work a work in your days which you will believe not, though it be told unto you." You know, it's hard to get people to believe that God is active and that, you know, he's not inactive tonight and that he is working among us. I believe that he is. He sends ministering spirits of God, that is, I believe, those of us who are children of God, to help and assist one another in our time of need. The Bible in the book of 1 Corinthians says that we are workers together. We are fellow workers together. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. And God is not pleased with us on the inactive list. Now, you may say tonight, well, I wonder why he didn't preach that on Sunday morning. Because you know what? I believe that perhaps there are a number of inactive members. I mean, they may show up for the feeding of a sermon on Sunday or Sunday night. But people can still be inactive. Because let me tell you something. The kind of activity I'm talking about occurs when we leave the building. Someone had a sign underneath a door as you entered their building. It said, "Enter to worship, but depart to serve." And that really is what Christianity is, isn't it? We enter to worship God. We often call this a worship service. But this is something that we're offering unto God because of our great love and our commitment and our devotion unto Him. But real service begins when we walk out the door out here at 7 o'clock. Some of you may leave earlier. I hope you don't. But I can tell you for sure that service is away from the confines of the building. You know, and that's true. God does not want us to be on the inactive list as a church. There are two areas where that can happen. He doesn't want us to be inactive as a church, for I read in the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, where God says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis, he says, write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that you live," he says, "but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, and be that ye are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast to those things, and repent. And if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come to thee as a thief, and you shall not know what hour I will come upon thee." Now, God says that He is watching the church. He is. He's watching every congregation of the Lord's church worldwide. And He knows what we're doing. And I'm afraid maybe sometimes, even for those of us who gather on Sunday night or on Wednesday night, God knows our works, and we are not perfect before Him. That is, spiritually mature. But it happens also not just to churches, but it happens to individuals. And this is where we all ought to be concerned. Now, you know, hopefully the church is going to do what God has asked her to do. But at the same time, I should extremely be concerned about my own life as an individual. You know, God isn't going to judge me based upon what someone else does. He doesn't grade on the curve, as we said, but on the cross. But he grades me upon my life and what I do as an individual. In Matthew 25, verse 24 through 27, the Bible talks about the man who had received that one talent. And the Bible said he came, and the Lord, he said, "I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that which is thine." And his Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed." Now let me explain that to you. A lot of people find that passage greatly disturbing and kind of hard to comprehend. Christ sows through us. We are the ones who do the sowing. And if you read in the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 10, the apostle Paul teaches us that, "Be not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. But he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." He says, "But be not weary in well-doing, knowing that in due time we shall reap if we faint not." Now, that principle is true, that we will reap what we sow. But God sows through us as individuals. And when we fail to use that which God has given unto us, then problems will arise. We need to understand that. We need to get off the inactive list and start doing something for God. And that brings me to point number two. Do you know there are times in our lives when circumstances require that we be reactive? Now, let me explain the difference. You know, sometimes in the church, certain needs are brought before us, and we kind of have to react to that. Now, we're going to talk about being active in a minute. versus being inactive. But there are times when certain needs are brought to us that we may not perceive or even know about. And so when it is brought to us, we have to react to that. Sometimes we do it in a knee-jerk fashion. And sometimes we don't really give a studied response to what we ought to be doing. Do you know everywhere Jesus went, he responded to the request and to the needs of others. Matthew 15, verse 21 through 28. Let me read this. The Bible says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Lord, have mercy upon me, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil," she said. "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came, besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it before dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answering and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto you even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Now Jesus reacted to what this woman requested of him. Sometimes we have to react. I would like to think that we would be knowledgeable enough to know that, you know, where we ought to be acting every time, but we don't know that. Sometimes there are needs that are brought to us, and having to use a little discretion here as to whether it is a need or whether, you know, it's somebody that doesn't really need something. And anyway, this woman had a great problem, and so she comes before Jesus, and now Jesus reacts. And he does it in a loving way. In the book of Mark 6 and verse 34, the Bible says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw many people, and he was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." You know, the church many, many times has to deal with needs and challenges as they arise. We can't plan for everything that is going to happen. Certainly the Bible teaches us proper planning is important. And it's true of our lives as well. How can we plan for the future for ourselves? Am I growing stronger as a child of God? Am I reacting if someone says, hey, you need to study the Bible more? Do you react and go study the Bible? If someone says, hey, we ought to be praying more, we ought to be coming to church more often, and someone reacts to that. But isn't it something that we know already? And then the last point. Did you know the church cannot truly be effective, not totally, particularly effective, I guess I should say, if we are not proactive? Now let me explain to you why that's true. Do you know that God was proactive and is proactive tonight? He's not inactive. There are reactions sometimes that occur. When we go to God in prayer and we petition him, God reacts to our prayers. But there are times when God is proactive, and let me explain to you how that's true. Do you know, even from the very dawn of creation, God was involved in proactivity. He knew that man was going to fall. He knew that we were going to sin. And so therefore, in the book of Genesis, God made the promise of the coming Redeemer in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. That Satan may bruise the heel of Jesus, but Jesus would give a mortal wound to the devil himself, from which he could never ever recover. God was truly proactive, for the Bible says in the book of John, the 3rd chapter and verse 16, "For God so loved the world, not because we ask him to love us." Do you know there's nothing mentioned at all in the Bible there before this statement is made about the fact that we were calling upon God to love us, and people want to be loved. But just out of the clear blue, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have life everlasting. You see the proactivity of God? God in his own goodness, listen to the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Paul again says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die because we desired it. He did it on his own. Jesus went to the cross because of his great love and his perception of our need. Now that is proactive, folks. The early church was not just reactive, but they were proactive. Go to the book of Acts chapter 11. When there was a need, the church met the need. Paul was proactive in his efforts to evangelize the world. For in Acts chapter 19 and verse 21, the scripture says, and after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I will also go to see Rome. Paul had an agenda, but his agenda was that of God's. He didn't have a private agenda somewhere. His agenda was as genuine as that of the Almighty. And we must be just as purposeful in our exercise of our own faith. For in Galatians 6, again, verse 9 through 10, let us not be weary in well-doing, proactive. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, you know, sometimes we, even in our proactivity, we make the wrong call sometimes. I've known of people, you know, who said, well, you know, if you're going to be a salesman, you need to be proactive and get out there and be positive. I heard about an enthusiastic door-to-door vacuum cleaner salesman one time who went to his first house in a new territory. He knocked, lady opens the door, and before she has a chance to say anything, he runs inside and he just dumps dirt all over her carpet. Now, how would you react to that? He says, lady, if this vacuum cleaner doesn't do wonders cleaning this up, I will get down there and purposely eat every particle of that dirt. She turns to him with a smirk and says, do you want ketchup on that? And the salesman said, well, why do you ask? And she says, well, we just moved in and we haven't got the electricity turned on yet. Now, we may have good intentions. We may have good intentions, but you better stop and think before you act. There was a guy one time who arrived at the pearly gates, and the Lord asked him to relate a good deed that he had done. And you know, a lot of us kind of believe that if we've really been proactive enough, then God's just going to welcome us on into heaven. Well, the guy thinks for a moment and he says, you know, I was driving down the road out here and I saw a giant group of hoodlums who were harassing this poor young girl. And I slowed down and sure enough, there they were, about 20 of them, abusing this poor woman. He said, Lord, infuriated, I got out of my car, I grabbed a tire iron out of my trunk, I walked over to the leader of the gang. He was a huge guy, about 6'4", weighed about 260 pounds, with a studded leather jacket and a chain running from his nose to his ear. As I walked up to the leader, the others formed a circle around me and I told them to get lost, or they were going to get it. So I ripped the leader's chain out of his face and smashed him over the head with a tire iron. Then I turned around and yelled to the rest of them, you better leave this poor innocent girl alone. You're all a bunch of sick, deranged animals. Go home before I really teach you a lesson in pain. And the Lord, duly impressed, says, wow. When did this happen? And he said, oh, about 3 minutes ago. Now, if you didn't get that, you can get the CD. Now, the point is, sometimes we are not proactive in the right way. When we talk about being proactive, we must be purposeful, as I said, in the exercise of our faith. Paul says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially those that are of the household of faith. Now, how can we, in this last thought here, how can we be proactive in our spiritual walk, our spiritual work? Well, we have to plan to do it. It doesn't just happen. You know, if you're proactive, it's something that you plan to do. It's not something that comes up and then you react to it because you were inactive. But being proactive means that you're planning to do it. It's kind of like tomorrow night is Monday night for the master. You can choose to be inactive at home, or you can choose to be reactive, or you can plan to be proactive and be here. It's true with our giving. You know, the Bible doesn't teach that you come to church on Sunday, and if you like the sermon, you give a little bit more, but if you don't, you take some out. But the Bible says that we're to give forethought to what we give, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. The Bible says, let every one of you lay by in store as God has prospered you, that there be no gatherings when I come. It's something that we plan for. It's true of our personal growth and our outreach and our involvement in the church of the living God. You know what? If you don't plan to work in the kingdom of God, you won't. Not going to happen. It just won't. But if you plan to do it, you'll do it. You'll get it done. And then you must prepare to do it. You know, it's not enough just to make a plan. But you have to prepare yourself to work the plan. Preparing by growing in knowledge in the Word of God, and following the Savior. You know, when we talk about teaching other people about Jesus, and I challenge you to do that all the time. I even challenge those on Sunday morning. Sometimes I think, well, you know, why would I spend time challenging those on Sunday morning to do that when I can't even get them to come back on Sunday night for church? Hard for me to believe sometimes that people are going to be reaching out to those that are lost when they don't even show up for a called worship service. But when we talk about reaching the lost, the way you do that is plan to do it and you prepare to do it. For in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says that we are to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us with meekness and fear. Be ready to do it. Prepare to do it. I wonder tonight how many of you could truthfully say, honestly, I could tell someone how to be saved. Could you give them book, chapter, and verse? Could you do that? Or would you have to say, well, we'll go talk to the preacher or one of the elders or one of the deacons? I'm sure there's an answer to that. You see, being proactive means that we are prepared to be able to do that. And we ought to be proactive in prayer. We ought to pray about the future of the church. We ought to pray about opportunities that God gives us to honor and serve Him. We ought to pray for wisdom. James says in the book of James chapter 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and he upbraideth or chideth not for asking. We must be active in the church and in our personal lives if we're going to please God. Let me ask you a question tonight, and as I said, it is possible for people even who grace the church pew on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night to be inactive. I think it's something all of us ought to think about at times. You know, am I really an active Christian, or am I inactive? Am I a reactive Christian, only reacting when someone brings something to my attention, or am I a proactive Christian? Actually, the latter is the only kind, my friend. There are no inactive Christians. I've told you that before. I've heard people say, well, you know, he's a worldly Christian. There can be no more a worldly Christian. There can be a heavenly devil. Not going to happen. Inactive, reactive, or proactive? It's your call tonight. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, and if you feel that perhaps maybe you have been inactive, you've only been reactive, why not be proactive tonight? And take that first step to come back home and to come to God and to ask His forgiveness as a Christian. And if you've not obeyed God tonight, you've never become a Christian by faith and obedience to the will of God, by being baptized for the remission of sin, why would you not do that tonight? You see, it demands that we take, the Word does, it demands that we take that step in proactivity if we're going to heaven. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. May God help you to make the right decision tonight as we stand and sing. Let us stand.
Days are filled.